Welcome back to this week's episode of the Compass Equip Podcast. Here at Compass, we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ by reaching people for Christ, teaching people to be like Christ, and training people to serve Christ. And everything we do here at Compass, including this podcast, is to fulfill that mission. Well, Compass, I'm so grateful that you've joined me on this podcast. We just wrapped up a wonderful Easter weekend where we had three services back to back to back, where we had over 917 souls present to hear the gospel and to worship together, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. I want you to pray with me for souls to respond to the gospel that they heard. And I want you to also pray for families who are looking for a home church to find a home here at Compass. Well, as we sat under the teaching of God's word this week, we looked at Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, with a sermon entitled First Things First, the Centrality of the Gospel. So let me read those four verses to you now. Paul says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Really, what we need to come to understand in this text is this, that holding fast to the biblical gospel requires a clear understanding of what the gospel is and a steadfast confidence in its ability to save you and sustain you. When we think about the gospel, that is the good news of Christ, his message and his mission that was authenticated by the wonders and signs that he did, and ultimately through what we celebrated yesterday, which was his resurrection. We have faith and trust in the gospel because Christ is risen, that all the things that he said came to pass, and when he died, he did not stay in the grave, which is a wonderful truth of the good news that we have. That if Christ gave us all of this good news, and he told us that we all will be resurrected, and we'll all be with him, and that he has power over death, but yet he died and was not raised, then what hope do we really have in this so-called good news? This good news is actually good news because Christ is no longer in the grave, that after 3 days he raised, proving all the things that he said were true, and giving us confidence in that same gospel's ability to save us and sustain us through our lives into eternity. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means, number one, we need to rightly respond to the facts of the gospel. But it's one thing to know the facts, which is an important part of the gospel. We have to know the truth of the gospel. We must know that it's God who created the universe, that it is God who is holy and perfect and set apart. We need to understand that God is just, which means he's always right, perfectly carrying out justice and righteousness. And because he is just and because he is holy, he's always has to respond rightly to sin. And so therefore, anytime something wrong happens, God must be righteous and he must respond righteously as a good judge would do to all sin. And so, therefore, we sit under the penalty of our sin because of the justice and holiness of God. And we are what the Bible calls sinners, separated from that holiness of God because of our sins. And so, therefore, we sit under the judgment of God. That's the bad news. And the facts of the gospel that lead to the resurrection is this, that God loved us. And he loved us in such a way that he sent his son to come and to live in our stead, to fulfill the law, to live without sin, that he would be a sufficient sacrifice in the fact that he is the Son of God and he was fully man, that he could stand in our place and then die on the cross, not for his own sins, since he was perfect and unblemished and without spot or wrinkle, but that he would die on the cross for our sin. And in that great love of God to send his son down to take on the wrath that we deserved, God's justice was satisfied. His holiness was not blemished because he did exactly what aligned with his holiness and righteousness. He responded to sin by pouring out the wrath, his wrath, on Christ in the place of those who would respond to the facts of the resurrection. That is, Christ was raised, authenticating the facts of all the things that he said, and gives us hope and trust that when we turn from our sins and place our trust in Christ, we too will have a resurrection like Christ. It is so imperative that we not only understand the facts of the gospel, but we respond to those facts and trusting in those because the resurrection really happened. The second thing we need to do is embrace the lifelong pursuit of Christ. We need to make sure that we eliminate and eradicate any idea of Christianity, that it was just simply a one-time response that we made a long time ago, fire insurance, if you will, and it's not something we think about. Again, most in our culture would believe, even at best, that we get saved at some point in our life, and then from then on, we just live as though nothing should be any different. But that is not the gospel that we receive in Scripture. It is not the testimony that we have from Christ or the apostles. The testimony we receive from them is that we live for the Lord every day, that we, as Paul even says here in the text, it's the gospel in which you have received, in which you stand. And it is that same gospel that which you are being saved. And I love that term, being saved. And as we talked about it in the sermon, it really shows us that there is no way that we can see salvation as just something that happened one time and it has no bearing on the rest of my life. Salvation is something that happened at one point in your life. We call it justification. We call it regeneration. But it is also the fact that when we're being saved, a process of what is happening to me as I am being sanctified, as I'm persevering in this faith, and as I ultimately will be glorified with Christ at my own subsequent resurrection. And so there are a number of texts that show us that. The one I just read in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that it's a process. We are being saved. We are justified when we turn from our sins and place our trust in the Christ. But there is a call to live for Christ every day as we are, as Paul says, being saved, sanctified, as we are persevering and as we look forward to our glorification. I mean, there's a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 is a really good text to help you think through this. When Paul says to the Corinthians in his second letter to them, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I mean, do you see the text there? Verse 18, that we are being transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. So as we're living for the Lord, as we've turned from our sins, we've placed our trust into Christ, then from there on, we're being transformed. There is that same tense, or being. It's something that's happening. It's a verb. You're being transformed. It's passive, but it's present. It's something that's happening to you now, not just when you turn from your sins and place your trust into Christ, but it's something that's happening to you your whole life as you're awaiting for your face-to-face encounter with God when you die, and ultimately when the judgment day comes where we are resurrected to new life with our glorified bodies, and we are being transformed into that same image. And here's the term, from one degree of glory to another. So there's a degree of glory that I am today, that as I'm being transformed tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, I'm being transformed to another degree of glory in the sanctification process that salvation brings into the life of the individual day in and day out. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 is another text that shows us this same truth in a different term. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." There it is, the term, working out your own salvation. I mean, okay, if I am saved, then what is there to work out? Well, Paul is saying that after I'm saved, there is then this whole life of salvation that I am to grow into, that I have these shoes that are really big, and the idea of me being sanctified is I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. And here's the good news, verse 13. "It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So as I'm working out my salvation, really what I'm doing is seeing how God is working in me to will and to work for his good pleasure. So the part of me working out my own salvation is asking, is God working in me? Is he willing and working out my life for his good pleasure? Which is really another way of saying, is my life looking like God's will and God's work? Or is life looking like my will and my work apart from God? And so working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is simply just to be asking, is it God's work that is being willed and done in my life, or is it my work? And so how do we know that? Not just by looking at this one moment in time that I profess faith, but looking at my life each and every day and asking, is it God who is willing and working in my life for his good pleasure? So such an important concept for us to understand in our Christian faith that we must embrace the lifelong pursuit of Christ, ultimately looking forward to our glorification. As Paul said to the Romans in chapter 13, verse 11, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. And so every day we look forward and we hold fast to the truth that salvation for us day in and day out is nearer to us than when we first believed. Point number three from this week's sermon was this: to examine your profession of faith. As Paul says in the second letter to the Corinthians, it is important that we would examine our faith. I didn't have a lot of time to look at that text. At least I didn't have time to flip you to the text, but we can go look at it now. And as we read it, and recognize the beauty and the wonder that's in that text, as we can find great assurance in the fact that as we test and examine our faith, that we can find that we pass the test. And so I'm going to flip there to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we can read along together. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says there in verse 5, to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find that we have not failed the test. I mean, this idea of examining yourself, to be asking yourself, am I in Christ? Do I recognize that the gospel is the truth? And that, have I responded to that gospel? Do I obey the Lord? Do I find not that I'm perfect, but that I'm being perfected in Christ? And that I find that I'm living for the Lord, I'm loving the Lord, and that I'm bearing fruit, that he's the vine, I'm the branches, I'm bearing fruit because I'm in Christ. I mean, that idea of saying I'm in Christ, well, a fruit can bear fruit because it's in the vine, that it's in the tree, an apple tree or a grapevine, whatever you want to equate that to, that fruit is born because it is attached to the vine. And those fruits and those plants produce because they're attached to the root. And all of those find that, hey, I'm an apple because I'm attached to an apple tree. I am a grape because I'm connected to a grapevine. And I'm producing fruit in kind with what I am. And so for us as Christians, we can say, am I producing the fruits of God? Because if I'm in Christ, then I'd be producing the things in kind with who God is and his character and his very nature. That those things would come out in my life. That's part and parcel of examining myself. And as I said to the life group leaders in their podcast, we live in a kind of culture where people say, well, you should never tell somebody to question their faith, which is antithetical to the text of Scripture that actually tells us it's smart and wise for you to actually examine yourself, because it'll do two things. For the false convert, what it would do is it would help them recognize, oh, wow, I have not passed the test. And the greatest thing for somebody who believes they're saved who isn't to know is that they were trusting in a false sense of salvation and not in Christ to forgive them from their sins from a holy God. So the best thing a false convert could ever know is that the thing that they believed in was not actually salvation after all. And for the Christian who is struggling with assurance, which there are many, and I'm sure all of us at some time in our life have questioned our own assurance of our own salvation, and examining one's profession of faith ought to give assurance of their salvation. When they ask, well, do I know the facts of the gospel? Okay, yes. Have I responded to the facts of the gospel? Yes, I've turned from my sins. I've placed my trust in Christ to bestow upon me, to impute to me the righteousness of Christ. And as I stand before God, I am counted righteous because of Christ. Okay, yes. And do I love God? John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will obey me. And I'm going to say, yes, I'm loving God. I'm obeying him. I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected. And I've noticed that even though there are times that I fall short, what I find is I love God. I turn from sin and I run after God and I obey what he says because I love him. Okay, and then that fourth one, am I bearing lifelong fruit? I know there's some rotten eggs in there. I know there's some rotten fruit in there every once in a while. But what I'm saying is, as I look at the picture, I'm saying, I'm bearing fruit. I'm producing the fruits of the Spirit, which are that, the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of Hayden, not the fruits of you, the fruits of the Spirit, that I produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That when it comes to the overflow of my life, I love God and I love people. And I live what accords with sound doctrine, as Scripture says. And we're going to say, yes, okay, I answer yes to all four of those questions. So for the person who's struggling with assurance, well, what is that going to do for them? That's going to give them confidence. And they're going to have great assurance because they said, yes, I've examined the profession of faith that I made, and I found that it is not lacking, and I found that I passed the test. Well, isn't that assuring? And so we want to ask people to examine your faith. It's a good thing for the false convert. And it's a good thing for even the Christian who's struggling with assurance. And so I hope that if either one of those are you who are listening to this, that you find comfort in the truth of Scripture that wants you to actually know where you stand with the holy God of the universe. All right, we have a few announcements for you guys. Remember that the next two Sundays in a row are our baptism services on the 7th and the 14th at both the 9 and 11 a.m. services. So we want to encourage you, invite people to come hear the testimonies of individuals who have understood the facts of the gospel, who have responded to the gospel, and are now standing before you on Sunday to profess publicly their profession of faith in Christ. And if you're one of those people who haven't been baptized and you need to be baptized, we encourage you. It's not too late to register. We will create more space for you to be baptized. So go online, compasshillcountry.org/baptisms, and register today. Starting on the 7th, next Sunday, we also have a new class, Financial Peace University, beginning an 8-week class at the 9 a.m. service at the World Indigenous Missions Building, where Mike Hargis will take you through that 8-week curriculum to help you get your finances under control so you can steward them best the way that God would have you do. That cost us $50 per workbook, and so a couple would use one workbook and a single would use one workbook. So the cost is $50 for a couple, $50 for a single. You can register online at compasshillcountry.org. And so what would happen to you? You ask, well, how do I go to church? Well, you would go to the Financial Peace at 9 a.m., and you would go to church at the 11 a.m. And if you're serving somewhere, we can always work that out and figure out how we can switch some things around so you can both go to church and go to Financial Peace University. But don't delay. The signups are filling up. And if you're one of those who've been saying you're going to sign up, just remember the spots are going to fill up. There's only 40 spots. And so once those fill up, there will not be any more space for anyone else to jump in. So go ahead and register as soon as you listen to this podcast. Thirdly, we have our men's Bible study on the 13th, the second Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. there at Compass Bible Church. And we want all of our men at Compass to be there as we're studying through the book of Philippians and as we're connecting as men to encourage and sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. The last two announcements are we have our kids' camps, our VBS, and our kids' camps in June, July, and August. We just announced our newest camp that we're adding this year, our VBS, in the beginning of June, and we would encourage you, register your kids for these. All the registrations are open. The cost is minimal to cover all the expenses that we need to and to offset what our church is paying for these things to happen. We want to encourage you. We already have dozens of kids signed up for all of these camps, and we want to make sure that your kiddos are there to learn about the Lord together this summer. And so I encourage you, go online, register your kids up early for our VBSs and our kids' camps. The final announcement is our National Equip Conference is approaching quickly, June 14th through the 16th here in New Braunfels at the Civic Center downtown, where we are going to be diving into the biblical gospel. We're going to be learning what other worldviews think about being right with God and how the Bible teaches us what it really means to be right with God, whether it's Islam or whether it's the Jehovah's Witness or Mormons or Catholics or atheists and all sorts. And we're going to learn in breakouts and plenary sessions with the resources that we're going to give you. We're going to learn how we can hold fast to the biblical gospel in a culture that does not believe in the holiness of God or being justified by the righteousness of Christ. And we want you to be there. We have a place for your kids. We have kids care from birth up to fifth grade, and everyone else can be a part of the conference. So we want to encourage you to be there on June 14th through the 16th. All right, Compass, I'm grateful for you. I'm praying this week that God would produce much fruit from our Easter services. I look forward to seeing you next week.